Welcome. You're listening to a members-only broadcast brought to you by Barnabas Foundation. To learn more about the variety of resources, tools, and training available to you, log into the Member Center at www.barnabasfoundation.org.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Kurt Nola, Director of Member Relations here. And joining me today is my colleague, Steve Rotier, the Director of Client Services. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. Thanks for joining me this morning, Steve. And for those of you joining us today, we're going to talk about our supporter survey and follow-up program. This is a bonus monthly kind of member live. We usually do just one a month, but we wanted to come back to you about the program and give you an update for those of you who heard about it before. And for those who haven't, I'm going to give you an overview as well. But this program is now a good 18 months old for us here, and we're seeing some great successes with it. So we wanted to share that story with you. Share the program again and glean if there's further interest from any other members that might be interested in doing this. As a reminder, today's session is being recorded like all of our other monthly lives. If you need to share this with someone else at your office, feel free to do so. It'll post in our member center here usually by Monday. So that be looking for that if you need to share it. And if you have questions throughout today's broadcast, feel free to type into the Q&A section here. It'll pop up on our screen and we'll address those questions as they come about. So to step back, a couple of years ago, Jim Bakke, our executive director, and I started talking about using surveys as a means by which to uncover leads and opportunities within a plan giving program. Many of our members had been using some other service providers that are out there. And Jim had successfully done this at World Vision over a 9-year period where they used a survey, and it uncovered a lot of both existing gifts that they didn't know about, as well as opportunities for them to engage with donors about plan giving. So we set about in a process over a couple of years to kind of look at not only what Jim did at World Vision, but also what some of the peers in the industry were doing, and said, let's find a way to build our own version of this. And we launched it in the fall of 2021. We launched a pilot. And today we're now a good dozen or 12 campaigns in, and we're seeing some really strong, consistent returns. But what are we trying to do with this? We're using the survey as a way to gain both insight into your donors, why they love you, what it is about your program that they were drawn to, where there are influential people in their life that help them come to want to support your ministry, and other strategic information related to the donor and their relationship with you. In addition to that, then we had tied a couple of questions to the survey that are related to how they're supporting you as a ministry and how they might be interested in supporting you. And these are those two hand raiser questions that we have on the survey that allows them to tell you that I've already done something or I'm interested in doing something. And then we follow that up with some demographic questions and a few other open-ended free-form questions for the donors to answer. Whole questions, only like 17 questions long on the survey. Short form, and many of them come back via mail, but we also allowed for a digital version of this. But we also found when looking at our competitors and peers that were doing this was that too often you as a ministry would go and engage on a survey product. You'd get flooded with all these responses and the data coming back from the survey provider. And that was where it stopped, and they landed on someone's desk. And I can't tell you how many times I sat in someone's office and they showed me the stack of surveys and the report from the survey provider. But there was no instructions on really what to do next. And quite honestly, they may have been told that they had 50 leads in that stack, but they were also wrestling with how much work they already had on their desk with their normal fundraising responsibilities. And they had no time whatsoever to qualify out these people. And oftentimes what I was hearing was those leads were going stale. So we said, how can we mitigate that? And that's where we added the follow-up program to this. And we're going to dive into the specifics of what it is, but ultimately what we wanted to provide you with both a survey and then a voice-to-voice call for any lead that comes about as a result of the survey, to jump on that immediately rather than sending it back to you to sit on your desk. And so we're going to talk about those specifics today, and that's what we wanted to jump into. So the first question I often get is, who do we send these surveys to? So Steve, you know, who's the target audience that we're trying to hit here?
Absolutely. Great question. Thanks for having me, Kurt. Mm-hmm. For sure. So as you're looking at this list and you're looking at your file of donors, of supporters of your ministry can be quite long, hard to understand, hard to pinpoint who it is to select. So we give you some guidance in that. So we're going to tell you, look for and pick out our donors that your supporters that are 65 and older. We're going to ask you to look for donors that have been a supporter for at least 5 years. Mm-hmm. And lastly, we're also going to ask to those same supporters that have given at least 15 gifts in the mm-hmm. past. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that that has been a great target audience.
It certainly has. Sure. And for those of you that are thinking already, oh, well, we don't have ages for our donors. Don't let that necessarily mm-hmm. concern you. We can work with you on doing some additional extracts from your file to look at time on file as a great indicator of whether or not they're in the age demographic that we're shooting to try to achieve. Keep in mind, ultimately, while this is a strategic survey, it is also still a planned giving survey in the end, right? So we want to be mailing it to households that are in that age demographic that's most appropriate. We start at 65 and older. We've had one member test a 55 and older crowd and actually performed pretty well. Mm-hmm. We've also, in one organization, cut off the older demographic above the age of 80 for various different reasons. And so there's things that we can do if you have age demographic that's really interesting. And if you don't, we can work with you about time on file and look at longevity of the donor and how they've been supporting you. Mm-hmm. Steve, you know, you and I aren't doing all this work. We've got plenty on our plate. There's a team of people helping support this. So, yeah. You know, tell the audience, you know, tell us about the team that assembled over the last year and a half.
I'd love to. So our team, we have the team that I work closely with on our client relations side, client services, is the one member that you're going to be in contact with quite a bit. We'll talk a little more about that later, but we'll be Karen Ingram. She's our survey coordinator. She kind of keeps everything going, keeps everything moving through. And then we also have three members of our follow-up team. That would include Dina Olson, Deb Walker, and Kathy Hoekstra. Those three ladies make some amazing, great phone calls, mm-hmm. Relational phone calls with your supporters. And then also, last piece, not necessarily of my team, but part of our member services marketing team is Linnell Dykstra. You will certainly be in contact with her as she works with you for customizable pieces that we as a program want to have available, that we want to have available to send to your supporters, depending on the type of planned gifts that they expect to give.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Crucial part of the whole process is not only, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but you know, when we do the follow-up, if you have a donor that says, hey, I'm interested in doing something, and we engage with them, we want to have the resources available that have your branding on mm-hmm. it that we can mail or email out to those supporters. And that's where the customizable piece comes in. It's so important to this process.
Absolutely. Not everyone, if they're mentioning, we'll say the future gift possible in the next 6 months or so, and not everyone's ready for a meeting necessarily with yourself or your development team or our planning team. So we want to have those customizable pieces that speaks specifically about the type of gift that they noted that they're considering giving, and also contact information for your organization, for you at the organization, your development team there as well, just to follow up with and to make easy for them to reach out to you as mm-hmm. well. So,
perfect.
Absolutely.
So if one of our members, and we've had a number of our members engage us, but what should members expect if they elect to go about doing a survey? What should they expect from you and the team?
First, I want to say continual communication, constant communication from beginning to end. So if as a member rep, development team member, reach out to Kurt and you agree that you'd like to launch this campaign and would like to move forward, you will be in contact with Karen Ingram relatively soon. And we're going to have a pre-meeting, really, I guess to say, before the campaign were to launch. We're going to have a pre-meeting. We're going to go over all of what the expectations are, all the needs of your organization to provide for us, mm-hmm. to help with that, help with the donor list, your supporter list that you would like to mail to, go over the customizables that are going to be required in comparison to what you may or may not already have available, and launch dates, target dates, what to expect throughout the campaign as well. Speaking of that communication, we're going to offer real-time communication throughout the campaign as the results are coming back to us. So if those that qualify, that go to our follow-up team, you're going to hear from us in real time of those that have maybe given in the past. We will reach out to them. We want to thank them absolutely on behalf of your organization, but we also want you to be aware of it as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. Many of those gifts may be a gift in a will or a beneficiary of a life insurance or retirement fund. And those, we would say, those qualify into a legacy society. And we want you to know that as soon as we find this out and confirm it with your donors. So mm-hmm. there will be real-time communication back and forth, Kurt, with you as the member and with us and our team all the way up until the very end. And the campaign roughly is about a 90-day campaign from mail date to completion. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that 90 days, we'll also do a follow-up meeting with you at the organization with an overview of all the information that we were able to collect, gained from the survey.
Yeah, and a great point there. In the end, these are your donors. This is your data, and we give it mm-hmm. all back to you. You know, we share all the data back, all the survey responses, all the notes on the calls, and the results of all those things back with them. We house that in a separate system here at Barnabas. We don't house it inside the same mm-hmm. systems, so it's not merged with our CRM program or anything like that, because we're treating this is definitely and definitively your data. We're giving it back to them.
So one quick note to that, just to be aware as well, is once the campaign is complete and that 90 days is up and we've had that follow-up meeting with you, and we have then at that point provided you all of our information, all the data that we have, raw data and written data that we've put together, we will scrub all personal information out of our system of your supporters. Mm-hmm. So there, I mean, it truly is your information. It is your supporters. They're your supporters, and we want to make sure we honor that.
Yeah. So looking at the program in a nutshell, we mail a survey. The survey is branded to you. It does mm-hmm. look and feel to you. It doesn't carry our branding on it. It does note on the back of it that it says that it was produced in partnership with us. The responses come back to us, so it does have our mailing address on that. We tabulate all that stuff. And now there's individuals or your donors who have raised their hand and said they've done something or they're interested in doing something, and it's going to go to our call team. This is where some members have asked me a lot of questions as I've engaged them about it, is how do we keep this sounding like them and not us? How do we keep it from being a commercial for Barnabas? How do we keep it, the relationship or the call focused on the member? How do we have their voice in this thing?
So one of the meetings, when I speak of that communication, when I was speaking of that communication previous, one of the other main points in that communication in real time with you is before we drop the survey in the mail, we will have a meeting amongst you as our member organization and representing your supporters and our call team, our follow-up team, all of the members there. They will all be a part of that. And we're going to talk through some key points that we want to make sure we're aware of, maybe some interesting campaigns or focuses that your organization has that your supporters may know about. We want to be aware of that. We want to be able to speak into that and have knowledge of it. We also will ask in this call, you know, beyond just what we can find from the organization and its mission and purpose. I love asking those that are on the call representing you as a member, why is it that you were there? What is your passion there? What is it makes that excites you to be a part of that organization? We've had some great answers to that in our calls, and that really gives our follow-up team an insight into who your organization is, in which case then we feel that we're clear in our phone call. When we place the call, we introduce ourselves as a member of Barnabas Foundation, but we're calling on behalf of your organization. So we're clear with that with your supporters, but we certainly do want to carry your purpose, your mission, your passion, and what you do in our call with when we speak with the donors, mm-hmm. for sure.
What does the call program look like? I mean, it's not just one phone call we try to make, right? No. If we don't connect, what's the protocol that we have set up?
So we've set up a protocol that is five phone calls. So we will place two phone calls first. And then we'll actually, if we have an email address, if you've provided that with the information, we will also make an email attempt at that point. And then we have three more phone calls after that. So we have a total of five calls. So the way we span these, we roughly do, we prefer to do one to two calls in one given week. I like to provide a little time in between. Mm-hmm. So to that point of why five, if you were asking, up to five seems a little much. We've been asked that. We understand that. We've also looked at our data. More often than not, we're averaging about 3.5 calls per supporter that has been that has raised their hand. So we know we want to span that just to ensure our best rate of connecting with the supporters if they've answered that. So one interesting piece to that is as we're recording our information and trying to internal purposes, one of the things we've had to add as a call code is a call returned connection made. We are leaving a voicemail with your supporter, introducing ourselves again, as I said earlier. And we have had multiple times have we had supporters of organizations that have completed a survey call us back and respond to us, which is phenomenal. Yep. I think that speaks to our follow-up team, to the message we're leaving them, the clear, concise message that we are leaving this supporter and truly their passion for your organization. They want to speak to us about the survey they filled out and about this organization. It's been really a wonderful thing to see.
These are not 2-minute transactional catalog order type of phone calls that I came out of my prior career as in a home furnishings industry. And, you know, it was all about time on call and how do we suppress that time down? We rather see longer calls because it helps build that relationship. And we're building that relationship on your behalf. And it's really building the relationship in conjunction with our member. So here we have, we've got a survey that's branded to the member. Mm-hmm. That's being mailed to their long-term loyal supporters of the age demographic that makes sense to talk about plan giving. Those that are raising their hand and identifying themselves as either an existing plan gift giver or an interested in doing so are getting a phone call attempt that's scripted, that's incorporating your voice into that call on your behalf again. So we're helping do a lot of that lifting and qualify those leads. When we went into this, when we built this survey program, our internal goals was that we would get somewhere near a 20% response rate if we honed in on the kind of exact donors we're talking about. The more you widen that out, response rate will come down a little bit, which would be naturally expected. And we were expecting about a 5% of the file as hand raisers, as telling us as they were either 20% total response rate, 5% of the mail file, identifying themselves as either existing plan gift intentions or interest in doing so. So Steve, how are the results been coming in? What has it been looking like?
So you can see we've had some great results. It's been really exciting. We've had our survey response rate. We're actually 15 to 40%. So we were targeting a 20.
Yeah.
We're running 15 all the way up to the highest that we've seen, close to 40% response rate. Of those hand raisers, of those that we've identified that have either given a gift in the past and notified us of that, or would like to give a gift in the near future, that number as a 5%, as you mentioned earlier, we're at 7 to 14% is what we've seen across our campaigns that we've done so far yet to date. Mm-hmm. And even more exciting to me is those that have identified themselves of either a past gift or a future gift, we've been able to average 50%, but 40 to 60%, we've been able to connect with voice-to-voice or email connection, mm-hmm. more often voice-to-voice, and actually have that relational conversation, Kurt, that you were speaking of earlier, in your voice. That is the best part of the work we do in this, is just those conversations we get to have. I should mention, you know, when we speak of being your voice, we want to do our best on your behalf. And the survey is modified and you're able to make changes to the survey to make it your organization.
Right.
And one thing that's not specific to your organization necessarily, but is specific to the work we do is the last part of that survey is an opportunity for prayer requests. And I just want to, I'm totally off, sorry.
No, that's totally off script. That's fine.
I'm killing my own script here. But it's just been such an honor for the follow-up team to be have an opportunity and to pray with your supporters. The willingness of your supporters to fill out that area. Some of our organizations, that is a focus of their ministry work and how they communicate and keep in contact with their supporters. But that other piece. So it really is... it's a wholehearted, it's just wholesome in the conversations we've had. So looking at those response rates of 40 to 60%, there's been some beautiful conversations, I can assure you, that are just exciting to hear about.
Yep. And all that data, we bring all that back to you, including all the handwritten comments.
Absolutely.
That are on the surveys, where they write in their prayer requests or the box that says, how can we serve you better? And things like that. Your donors are not shy. They fill this out. They share information with us and we provide that right back to you. And you get both the raw data as well as the scanned copies of all the surveys. And so in the end, this is all coming back to you. So, you know, I forget what number we're on now, but we're still young in this business. We ran 4 pilots and we've done, I don't know, around 12 or so campaigns at this point, and we have several running right now. What are our members saying so far? What's the feedback we're hearing from them? And we've seen great results, far exceeded our expectations, but what are our members saying?
Yeah. So thanks for asking, Kurt. The beautiful part is there's a numbers piece that says, like you said, the results, that's numbers, that's data. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other side in our work and working with our member organizations. It is relational. We are partnering with you in this. They're your supporters. So it's exciting to be able to read you some quotes from our members that we have worked with in the past, and that'd be great. So we've asked, what has the program provided for your organization? We've asked that question to a few participants. Insight, one of the answers, insight, not just the planned giving information. More importantly, the questions in the survey, which gave us insight into the ministry from the eyes of our partners, hearing from them directly. This allows us to learn about ourselves and how we can better become a more effective ministry. Thought that was a great response. It was exciting to hear that.
Yeah.
This survey, again, it's going beyond just the estate plan giving. We want that piece, but it goes also to help you as a ministry. Another question we asked was, what have you appreciated most from Barnabas Foundation? And a response there was their commitment to the process and professional approach. I appreciate the detail they provided in preparation of the survey and throughout the campaign. So that quote is speaking to our communication before the survey to the end and when it is complete. And it's exciting to hear that, especially for our team. And if you had the opportunity to speak with a peer from another organization about the program, what is it that you would say? And those their response there as well. Definitely worth the expense simply for the time saved, allowing Barnabas to manage the survey. This has been a very successful venture for us. And I shouldn't say has been. I think it actually is continuing to be a successful adventure for this organization, our friends at Our Daily Bread. And then also I would, another quote is, I would highly recommend the service. It is well worth the cost and effort. We recognize there's a cost to it in addition, but it is exciting to see that we are providing value to our member organizations in this program.
Yeah. And that last comment kind of goes along with a question that just came up here on the screen and whether or not there's an extra cost. There is. There is. This is not is included as part of the raw membership that you have with us. There is third party costs. We do end up having to pay for printing and mailing and postage and all those things. And then we're also part of the cost is also working through the scripting and having the callers available to make those phone calls. And so we'll talk a little bit more about costs in just a minute. If a member, you know, today is hearing this, you know, and they're interested in working with us on the survey, what's the timeline look like in terms of getting one launched and mailed?
Good question. So that as it pertains to the timeline with our mail drop, we work with a mailhouse as well. So we have some time, lead time there we have to provide as well, right? So we're roughly, it's a 5 to 8 week lead time from beginning of conversation to the point of mail drop in the mail. And the reason we have this spread of 5 to 8 weeks is the initial launch and initial survey drop for your organization may be a little closer to pushing up against that 8 week.
Yeah.
We have to get a lot of pieces in order, as we spoke earlier, the customizables, our donor list honed in, all of that information creation of the survey. However, we have known and we've proved as a team here, we can do it as short as 5 weeks, maybe even a little less, but I don't want to, Aaron might get upset if I say that too much, but we can do probably as short as 5 weeks though, because once we've created and templated out your survey, we would be able to do a second mail drop and the second campaign in a much more quicker turnaround time for that. So
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Glenn, your question here about your donor list and donations need to be consistent across the 5 years or the 15 gifts can be sporadic. So here we look at those two numbers kind of independent of each other and yet related. We want to be mailing to donors that have demonstrated long-term consistent support and active donor base or donors to your organization. So we are looking for some consistency in that giving. The 15 gifts or more actually comes from some studies that Jim had shared with me that they had looked at the propensity of people who made planned gift commitments to organizations. And it seemed as if on those studies, the fulcrum point was right at 15, where people less than that had a lower propensity to make a planned gift to a ministry, primarily gifts in a will. And above that, it didn't drastically increase the number. And so it's as if that if you were looking at the data, you kind of ran straight up to a plateau. It shot up to 15 gifts and then leveled out at that point in terms of the propensity. So that's why we use that number. But you are looking for donors in your system that have been long-term loyal supporters. And so 5 years or more, 10 years or more, and so forth, that's where you can start to hone in on those loyal supporters. Realistically, for most ministries, if you have 10 or 20 year supporters on your file, you're going to be moving into that age demographic. That's probably what we're looking for anyway. Maybe a few of them are a little younger, true. But I just think of, you know, most people in their 20s don't give kind of consistently to charity. Some people do directly more often than that. They may be giving through their church or other things. And some of that repeatable giving pattern that starts to develop when they're a little older, right? In their 30s, 40s, and above and beyond. And so if you're looking at that long-term supporter, and if you don't have ages, that time on file is really, really important. The 15 or more gifts is just a data fulcrum point that we found seems to be an identifier as which they have a propensity to want to make these types of gifts. And so, again, independent, but yet related. And we can work with you, Glenn, on looking at your database and trying to and seeing what kind of numbers you would actually have if you were to screen your data. So,
Kirk, I think those with the number of gifts and the years of support, tying back to the age, I'm strongly believing that that area, those group of supporters, and also what's helping our results on the other side, that we're able to have good connection rate. We're able to have great conversations with these supporters as well. These are supporters that in some sense want to take the time because they have a passion about this organization that they have continually supported and continue to support and have the time for the conversations. I think those really reflect back and even our follow-up side of it as well, and the results we have there. So
right, certainly. And as Jim experienced too, in his time at World Vision, as they expanded the universe of people they mailed their survey to, perhaps they went from just their older supporters and so on and so forth to more of their mass mail file that have been long-term kind of child sponsors or, you know, types of givers. Their response rate did come down as you went into the younger demographics, which is totally to be expected because we are trying to get to those planned giving opportunities, right? And so it's natural to see that the response rate would decline a little bit. I would assume a question just came up. I would assume monthly givers would be a great pool of surveys to start with. Absolutely. Monthly givers, fantastic pool of folks to start looking at. And that would be a great initial screen. If you have age data on top of that or time on file, if they've been there, great. Let's look at that type of file. Even in some organizations, they have a volunteer list. They may not be active supporters, but they've been loyal volunteers to a ministry for decades. Mm-hmm. And they are targets for planned gift opportunities because maybe they're not in a position to make current giving, but they may make an estate gift to you down the road as well. So lots of things as we engage with ministries to talk about what their donor base looks like and ways in which we can massage and play with the selection that you would use on which ones to mail to. And we've got a couple members that are experimenting some things with us. You know, we did some stuff where we went a little lower in the age demographics because they had a good age data and they wanted to test it out.
So, Kurt, I can take this one. So what happens to those that send back a survey but don't want something right now? Mm-hmm. Depending on how they answer, but if you're asking, don't want anything right now. So I will assume that at that point they've answered that future gift. Maybe they answered the future gift, but they're not looking for a meeting right now. Mm-hmm. They, this way, we would. This is where we have the opportunity to send those customizable pieces specific to that type of gift to them. and at least get the information in front of your supporter, and also possibly open the door for a conversation between you and that supporter about the information they received.
Right.
So maybe it's not a gift right now, but it's something worth thinking about in the future.
Right. And the other side of that question is, if a donor answers a survey but doesn't answer anything in questions 8 and 10, which are the two plain giving questions that we really have, what happens to that?
So those, and that was the other side of it, sorry. Yeah, so the other side to that is, if they don't answer the question, qualify for our follow-up team, that information is still scanned into our system. We'll still take the time to go through all that information, but that information is then provided back to you at the organization, for sure. And, you know, speaking of the information that goes back and the reports that we send back, and all the raw data that we send, one thing that we did mention during the member conference, I had mentioned to a few members, I should have thought of this earlier, it had been in our script. However, that to be said, we will also welcome you to provide us an ID number for your supporter in your CRM system, in your client system, in your database. Mm-hmm. We will track that. That will go on. We will also put that onto the survey itself, but it'll also be included in all the raw data that comes back to you regarding that specific survey respondent. And then that allows you to do ease for import into your own system, depending what it is and what information you'd like to put back into your own CRM.
Right. So, no, great point. And that's valuable data to you, to be able to load that back into your CRM so that your representatives can see the fact that they answered the survey. So, you know, when people have raised the question, what do you do with the ones that respond, take the time to fill out the survey, but don't give us an affirmative answer on questions 8 and 10, as we call them? That's still really valuable to know that they were willing to take the time to answer the survey. And it's also valuable to know that perhaps they may answer it again in the future. It may just be not right now is the time for them to talk about plan giving. And so it doesn't mean that if you were to do a survey again, for some of our members, they have larger donor files. They don't get added to the next survey list, but you may resurvey them again in a couple of years because life circumstances may have changed and they may be willing to check off an answer on question 8 or 10 to saying, hey, I want to talk to somebody. The goal of the survey is to gain that strategic knowledge about your donors and how they're relating to you and how they're attached to you and what they love about you and so on and so forth, but also give donors an opportunity to raise their hand and tell you two things: I've done something or I'm interested in doing something. And for those that do that, we want to qualify that out through the phone call process. Again, your voice, trying to understand where they really at. Yes, we know we need to write a new will, but it's something we'll get to in the next 12 months to 24 months to 36 months. Or, you know, my husband and I, we've talked about it and we just had a new grandchild and we need to schedule a time with an attorney. We could really use some help and some guidance, you know, trying to weed through all those, that 5 or 7 or 10, 14% respondents that answer that question positively. Where are they right now? And what can we help them now versus what should you as a member be shepherding over the next 6 months, 12 months, 18 months and so forth to help them move along a path to the point where they're ready to move forward. And so that's the goal of that kind of qualification side of those calls, what we're trying to achieve. One more question here. I know we're running a little long today and that's okay. I hope you all stick with us. We're almost done. Can we help you think strategically how to work with these other donors that are not immediate hand raisers? Yeah. Absolutely. And anybody that's willing to answer that survey, I think, has demonstrated a level of loyalty to you. So that's important to note in your system. And we can talk about all kinds of ideas of how you keep them engaged in the plan giving conversation. Whether that be just mailing them information on a legacy society, if you have one, perhaps it's adding them to a future mailing down the road related to a survey, you know, 2 years from now. Maybe it's just an informational brochure about plan giving once a year. There's a lot of different things you can do, as well as just noting the fact that they answered the survey. And if they're on someone's call list already, being able to follow back up with those folks on a future call to say, hey, thank you so much again for answering that survey. You know, it was really valuable information to us. Just want to talk to you again about a couple of things inside the survey. And then you kind of lead it through that conversation. So lots of things we could discuss.
I'm glad you mentioned it just real quick, though, with some of the campaigns that we've done in the past, speaking of those that haven't necessarily raised their hand that go to the follow-up team. Speaking of that, you will get a weekly report up to date of all of that we have, of all of those that have responded that week. the previous week, right? It's a weekly report. And we will identify those that are going to our follow-up team and those that are not. And those that are not going to our follow-up team, as you were saying, great opportunity maybe to reach out and thank them. Mm-hmm. One of our members in the past, the prayer request is what allows them to follow up with them. For those that don't go to our follow-up team for a phone call, there's a prayer request. There's other areas for your supporters to write in comments, to write in some thoughts, write in their passions and why they support you. Right. So there's some great talking points there, even for those that don't raise their hand, that we're managing for you with our team.
Certainly. And our team, the member relations team, is always happy to strategize with any one of our members and talk about how best to keep that engagement process running. So, Steve, it's February 1st. We're now in the second month of the first quarter. We've got a bunch of surveys running right now. We got a few more that are dropping here over the first quarter. What's our capacity look like? What are we booking right now for the rest of the year?
So we're booking Q2 at the moment, for sure. But we have some open yet. We have some room there. So if you'd like, if you're interested, Kurt would love to hear from you. I believe they're reaching out to you. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
That'd be great. Kurt would love to hear from you. But we have room in Q2. And then, of course, Q3 and 4. Mm-hmm. We'd love to start getting booked and start putting some place some campaigns on our calendar. So on the schedule. Yeah,
certainly.
For sure.
We have one organization that's engaged with us for 12 campaigns this year. So we've got that happening. We have another one that's looking to do 3 more this year. And so we've got members engaging with us now. But if this is something of interest to you, there's still capacity through the rest of the year, getting into Q2 and beyond. And we'd love to talk to you because it does. I mean, it takes, as you said, 8 weeks on the start and 4 or 5 weeks on the second or third after that. So,
but even and you mentioned that the 12 month campaign that we're doing with one of our organizations, we've agreed with them that we're doing a drop every month.
Right.
But I would argue to say we're willing to work. If you speak with Kurt, if you have a specific drop times that you want to kind of manipulate a little bit and work around your own marketing plan and marketing pieces that are going to your supporters, we're happy to work with you in that as well. Whether it's a monthly, whether it's quarterly,
right.
or even a single campaign, we're happy to work with you on that.
So a lot of flexibility there. So we're looking at that. And so, if this is of interest to you, I'd love to engage with you. Again, it's a full-blown survey program with the follow-up piece, which was the piece that we saw was lacking with so many other service providers. It's not just about getting survey results. It's about how to qualify those leads out and then recommend follow-up actions. Obviously, there's a selfish interest in this too for Barnabas Foundation, the fact that we're hoping that those people that express interest in are interested in and also going to the next step of meeting with one of our planners. There's no requirement that they have to, obviously, but there is a small subset of the respondents who are feeding into our planning system, which will yield into, hopefully closed plan gifts of estate gifts or some current gift opportunities. As we've engaged with some folks, there's been education on how they can give more tax efficiently now. And so we'd love to see that happen as well. There is a cost to this. Right now, the pricing for 1,000 survey count is $18,000. And there are price breaks above that as you get into higher volumes, 2,000, 3,000 and so forth. And we can certainly talk about custom pricing there. Smaller audiences of less than 1,000 are a little harder for us to work where we're working on some solutions to that. Mm-hmm. How do we make it economical? Because what happens is the price per piece just kind of jumps up drastically if you're only dealing with 400 potential survey audience. And so we're trying to find a way, can we merge multiple members together into a single file, but still mail them as their own individual surveys to bring some economies of scale down? I know I had one school call me about this already, and they've got about 400 people. So we're trying to figure that out. We don't have a solution to that yet, but if you are interested in that, feel free to talk to me anyway, because we'd like to put you on that list so that if we have a solution, we can bring that to the table as well. So that's the program. If you're interested, absolutely give us a call. We'd love to talk to you about it. And I thank you for kind of sticking with us for the last, 39 minutes. It's a little longer than we usually go. Last couple of quick announcements here for you. Next month or later this month, February 15th, will be our next live training. Cindy Riemersma will join us and we'll be talking about giving from your IRA. This is a client live opportunity. So take a look at the marketing materials out there. Invite your supporters that are over 70 and a half to attend this session. There's a registration site. We'll let you know who of your supporters attends if they mark you as being the referral source. And it's a great opportunity for you to invite folks that may not be aware of the benefits of giving from their IRA to the session so that we can educate them on that as well. And then two quick things, if you're coming to CLA or any member of your team at your organization is coming to CLA here later this spring, let us know. We'd love to host them for dinner on our annual kind of member dinner invite at our CLA events. And then lastly, we're also gonna have a boot camp this spring. So fresh announcement, April 13th here in Creed, Illinois. If you have new team members that need to go through boot camp, or if you have, if you'd like to go back through it yourself, it'll be live in person here in Creed on April 13th. Watch for more details on that as we'll be sending out some information soon for the registration for April 13th. So we hope to see new faces as well as some old familiar faces at that event then. So Steve, thanks for joining me. Thank you for everybody kind of stuck with us here for a little longer than normal session. We appreciate it. And again, if you have any interest whatsoever, give me a call. As always, it's an honor and privilege to serve you in this kingdom work, and be blessed and have a wonderful day. Thanks.
Thank you for listening. This has been a members only broadcast brought to you by Barnabas Foundation. Learn more about the variety of resources, tools, and training available to you by logging into the Member Center at www.barnabasfoundation.org.